When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, just 90 minutes from wherever you are. Thanks to Nick Wright for joining us earlier. Take it away, Linz.
Thanks, Sedano. All right, so the historic WNBA draft had three times more viewers than half of the four major American professional sports.
How many viewers total was it? Because I missed the number.
It was just over two. It was 2.5 million.
That's
people.
Awesome. What awesome. I mean, the highest one before that, I think, was like 600,000, right?
It was 600,000.
It was Diana Taurasi, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they said,
crazy.
For comparison,
it was 20 years ago.
I know, but the thing is that Caitlin Clark took the person. If 600,000 was the number, and 2.45 million is the current number, Caitlin Clark, and I'm giving her the credit, and I mean there's others, but it's her, took the guy like me who had zero interest and turned us into interested potential fans.
Well, and I think that the WNBA also embraced kind of the fashion part of it, like all the other drafts have.
The beauty of the women.
To see them do it. Because like before, like we didn't make a big fanfare out of the WNBA draft. So I saw that, like the whole red carpet thing, and then they were doing the looks, like who had the best look. So I love that part of it for sure.
Yeah, it was a blast. And here's the thing. She's going to start in May 13th is her first game
right
or something like that.
And they've signed all these national TV contracts, so she's going to be all over TV. I think this, though, really, like, I think the WNBA for the longest time, this is just an opinion, but I never paid attention, but I think the WNBA for the longest time wanted to celebrate these women as tremendous world-class athletes.
As they are.
But they are also beautiful people.
They are, correct.
And they're fit, and they look great. And the girl who was drafted by the Sparks, the number two overall pick from Stanford.
Yeah, Cameron Brink.
I mean, she looks like she could be a runway model.
And by the way, she's you and I talked about this the other day because we were talking about her. I mean, for those that don't know, for the casual person who doesn't know, she grew up with the Currys, with Steph and Seth and that whole family, because her parents and Sonya, who's now divorced, obviously, and Dell, with Dell, but Dell Curry and Sonya, Steph's mom, they grew up in Virginia Tech with Cameron Brink's family. Steph is the godfather.
Dell's
right.
The godfather.
Dell's the godfather of Cameron, and Steph is the godfather of one of the other kids
And she put out these pictures the other day on Instagram. I wouldn't have seen it. George alerted me to it, but she put out these pictures of her as a little baby being held
by a young Steph Curry.
By a 7 or 8 year old Steph Curry.
Yeah.
It's an amazing story. We got to get her on the air. In fact, better than getting her on the air, need her in studio.
Lindsay, let's work on that.
In the same dress that she was wearing at the draft.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, don't go that far. So they're doing their media availability today. So I will work on getting, maybe we can even have her come by tomorrow. Never know.
Well, I'm not going to be here tomorrow, but right. So it would be probably best maybe next week.
Next week would be lovely.
I don't even know
what day it is.
Today is Wednesday. I'm having a hard time also because of the whole morning thing.
Yeah, that really screwed me up.
Screwed me up so bad.
Yeah.
And then what happened is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I went back over to the East Central, and I had to like nap a little bit, and that didn't go so well. And then before you knew it, it was the Laker game, and I was watching that. And then I went and grabbed some food. And then I came back for the Warriors game, and I needed like to catch up. My whole day was screwed up.
Yeah.
Because that show yesterday.
Once you lose sleep, that you can't get it back.
Yeah, no, I know. Make up for it. Yeah.
Speaking of Wednesday, it's a Lakers winning Wednesday on 710 as we react to everything from last night's game, and we're looking ahead to game one of the playoffs on 710. And don't forget all the reactions made possible by Michelob Ultra. 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And look, the Lakers are going to be taking on the Nuggets. You heard Nick Wright say he's taking the Lakers in six. I am on the other side of that, and I'm taking the Nuggets in six.
I'm also taking the Lakers, and that's because I'm on the emotional roller coaster.
You are. Have you been all season?
All season long.
Lakers in seven.
1 week, it's like they're terrible. The next week, they're going to be champions. And I really think that because AD is healthy as he's ever been, because LeBron is healthy now, because you're getting a fresh Gabe Vincent to bring some fresh legs, because D'Angelo Russell knows he has to play better and he did yesterday, I'm telling you right now, I'm ready for the Lakers to shock the world. Because I'm on the roller coaster.
Would it be that big of a shock, though?
Yes, it would be a monster
shock. But it's LeBron.
I mean, they're...
Can you count out LeBron?
They're pretty big underdogs, aren't they?
Hold on.
Nine straight to Denver. Yes, it would be a monster shock.
They are. However, I feel like LeBron, like to your point, he was like so beaten down by like the time they even got to Denver. And so that's why I feel like this is the best chance they have against him, because they got people are fresh.
But Nick Wright made some interesting points, and he brought up some things that he is the way he watches sports is different than the way I watch sports. The way he remembers things is very different than the way I remember things. The things that he brought up during that conversation a few moments ago are the, you look back to last year's games, and you, and yes, the Lakers were swept four straight games.
But they were all very close games.
But they were close games, and George, you've brought it up every time they've played against the Nuggets this year. If you don't have a lead on those guys, they're going to bury you because they are finishers.
Yeah.
But what he brought up was very interesting. You know, there were a couple of times where Joker hit those monster long Caitlin Clark-esque three-point bombs.
Right, but he does that regularly.
Where he's throwing the ball over his head.
I mean, Nuggets are minus 335 to win the series. Wait, because that's not like a small number.
No, they're monster favorites.
Betting it. I'm betting the Lakers.
Lakers are plus 270.
They absolutely should be monster favorites. But if LeBron is loading up because...
Yeah. By the way, be careful where you bet it. You got to go, you know, remember, go to Vegas or whatever, because you don't want to be Ipe or something, you know?
No, yeah, I meant like just...
Or
I
that
Jonte
dude.
I just meant cookies. I'm just betting cookies. Me and DeAndre are back here betting cookies. That's
really?
Well, you go to Vegas all the time, so that's fine. You know, exactly. Just
anyway, look, I'm just saying this. Have I believed all year that the Lakers are going to win the championship? No.
Yeah. I have.
So you actually believe they're going to win the NBA championship?
I said that. I was the only person last week who was like back there arguing with everyone, saying you guys are nuts if you think that they're not getting out of this play-in. Because people are, even Ramona was like, I don't know. They look pretty bad, and I was like, you're insane if you think that LeBron is losing a win or go home game. I just don't. It's not happening.
I don't know, man.
I mean, he lost the win or go home game to the Nuggets last year.
Hold on. What does Big D not know?
In that situation. But again.
You're saying like a one game scenario.
Right. I meant the play-in. Like, they're definitely getting out of the play-in. And I take LeBron in a game seven every single time. I think that last year, obviously, just the schedule was to their disadvantage. And the only reason you'd want to face them later is to hope that they get just as beat up as you. But at the end of the day, a beaten up Lakers team is still not as good as a beaten up Nuggets team.
You know, you look at LeBron James, Lindsay, the way I used to look at Mike Tyson.
But I'm not wrong.
You are kind of, because here's the thing. He hasn't been able to do it. He's no longer the guy that carries an entire team to a championship. He's carried scrub. What do you mean you don't know it?
No, Lindsay.
Has he done it?
If that was the case, he would have done it last year.
Has he done it?
You're right. And I'm not going to lie. I bet my brother,
NGL?
Like double or nothing after every single game that the Lakers lost, that the Lakers were still going to come back and win. And so then, obviously, I had to eat it there. But I think in this situation, it's completely different because, like I said, they're fresh.
Well, listen, I think Nick Wright brought up some good points, though, about giant shots that were hit, performances that have never been had before, you know, and I think that he brought up some interesting stuff that makes me say, you know what, maybe the Lakers could actually pull this off. Now, again, emotional roller coaster guy over here, down in the dumps during the year, oh, they're terrible, they suck, they should get rid of LeBron, they should never re-sign him, he's terrible, it's time to rebuild, and now I'm at the height of that emotional roller coaster again, where after winning that game, and by the way, they just squeaked by. They just barely beat them. Zion got hurt in the last 3 minutes, didn't play.
Yeah.
Nobody else from New Orleans really contributed. I mean, I don't know why.
They were operating at like 50%, I feel like. Like LeBron
Wait, you just said they're not going to lose a win or go home game, but now you're saying they were coasting at 50%?
Right, because yesterday was not a win or go home game. I think they were just kind of cruising. I don't think he flipped the switch. I know he didn't flip the switch.
No switch to flip.
Oh, you'll see. There's a switch. You'll see.
There's more intensity in the playoffs. Across the board.
Wait, wouldn't you argue that LeBron carried the Lakers through the majority of the first two series last year in the playoffs?
I don't know. AD was really good, too, in the playoffs.
No, he was every other game.
Lakers go as far as AD goes.
But defensively, he was the most important player by a wide margin.
Send her to Terminal
H. Offensively.
Don't take that from her.
Yeah. I mean, listen, LeBron isn't defending the way he defended in 2014 anymore,
okay?
You're
right. I know that. I mean, he did pretty good last night, which you haven't seen that from him in a while.
Until Zion was, like, you know, then going through him in the second half.
Until Zion threw him around like a little ragdoll.
The first half, you're right. It was two totally different games.
But I do give LeBron credit for being a man's man, for standing there and taking that from a much younger, heavier, thicker, stronger.
Oh, look, I'll give him credit, dude. He's battling it out. Like, that's what it should be every night, you know?
All right, Big D, you say this team's going only as far as AD can take.
Yeah, 100% I agree with that.
I'm telling you right now, man. AD is their driving force, defensively and offensively. When he's on the court, it just shows that the Lakers are significantly better. When he's not on the court, the momentum drops.
Okay, so then by that logic, okay, and I'll buy that logic, but buy it, the Lakers should get annihilated in this series, because when it comes to playing against what George has told us all year long are bigger, stronger centers in the Western Conference, he's going to take on a much bigger, better, stronger center who can do so many more things. Play inside, play outside, can pass the ball, can defend, etc. Playing against Jokic is going to be very tough for AD. This is the time for AD to step up and stick it to people who've been saying, this guy's so much bigger and stronger, he can't defend against this guy. Come on, AD.
It's all, honestly, this series is going to be schematically how they defend. I mean, they got to make Jokic play defense. I mean, they got to do a lot of, you know, pin downs. And
well, so here's some like numbers that from ESPN Stats and Info that they sent me just a little while ago.
Because
I sent them some stuff about Jokic and AD and a bunch of stuff.
Oh, but that was one of my NBA Insider Outsider questions.
Which one was that? How do you know it's the same thing?
Well, it's the AD one. My question was just basically...
No, this is just about their kind of the tail of the tape.
Yeah.
Between him and Jokic. So in the games against them, this includes this regular season and last postseason, mm-hmm. Jokic is averaging 28.4 points per game, 13.4 rebounds, 10.6 assists, and 3.5 turnovers per game, shooting on 53 and 42 splits. So 53 in the field, 42 from three, mm-hmm. Okay? And then Davis has got nearly 25 points per game, 12 boards, just under 3 assists, and just under 3 blocks, 1 turnover on 48 and 33. As the closest defender to one another, Jokic is 30 of 57, so shooting over 50%, 53%, whereas AD, when Jokic is guarding him, is shooting only 45%. Mm-hmm. So, like, that matchup does not favor an Anthony Davis.
No,
in general, as we've talked about, he struggles against the bigger, stronger guys,
right.
Okay? Jokic is certainly that and far more skilled than the other guys that he faces. And AD, I don't know about you guys, it looked like his back was hurting him yesterday.
But this is the time for AD... If you've lost 9 straight games to Denver, if all the numbers favor Jokic, if the talking heads out there, if the talking heads are saying that the other guys are bigger, stronger, more skilled, if everything is against you, this is when you show up. I mean, last night, that last play where LeBron shot up that ridiculous air ball, if it wasn't for the way AD was using his body, okay, to grab that ball out of the air and then hurry up and put it back up and then go hit 2 clutch free throws. If that doesn't happen, who knows how that game might have turned?
So, George, I have a question in this regard. Mm-hmm. I'm going to skip it from the NBA Insider Outsider. So, since I don't know the intricacies of the game as well as you, and I never will in a million years.
This is a big setup.
To
right
your
here.
Point,
this is a big setup.
To your point,
let me suck up before I say something. Go ahead.
To your point, in the last 2 seasons, Jokic has shot 56% from the field when AD is the contesting defender, including both regular season and playoffs. So, is there a defensive scheme on this planet?
No.
That would allow the Lakers and AD to help defend him.
No. You're not an absolute.
So there's no way.
No. There's
nothing.
Not. There. There
nothing
isn't.
They can do.
There. I mean, the guy has shown. I mean, he's a point guard. And he's like 7'1", 280 pounds. Like, it's impossible. There's no way to stop him barring injury at this point.
So what do they do?
What do you mean, what does he do?
So if they can't
stop him,
what
do they do? Like, you gotta try. Like, look.
Put Jackson Hayes on him. Oh, yeah.
Like, you gotta try. I'm not saying
somebody with some real weight.
AD, in theory, should be the type of defender that would give Jokic trouble. But he, it's all relative. He's still, you mentioned the numbers, 56% against Anthony Davis, who's one of the best defenders in all of the sport.
You need to be careful, otherwise you may have to send yourself to Terminal H.
But it's not about Terminal H, it's just nothing you can do against that guy.
Maybe you can poke him in the eye.
Like an old wrestling move? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you gotta hope that he gets hurt. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Laker fans, you gotta hope that he gets hurt.
Well,
you don't want to hear it.
Actually,
it's true.
There is a way to beat Denver. I don't think it's through Jokic, though. So let's get to that on the other side. Stick around. 710 ESPN. Hey, guys. Wabba Grill, Sedano and Cap. They are one of our presenting sponsors. Kids eat free at Wabba Grill. Bring your kids for a free chicken or tofu mini bowl with any entree purchase weekdays after 4 p.m. Restrictions apply. Like a little prayer, Cappy. Do you remember this song when it debuted?
Well, I mean, I remember the song.
It was a big thing, Like a Prayer. It was on network television.
Oh, yeah?
And I believe it was on NBC. And Pepsi, paid for, a 4-minute ad or whatever it was on NBC in primetime for this song to air, the video, the music video to air, Madonna, Like a Prayer.
Was it like in between Friends or something?
What? Something crazy like that, yeah. Yeah,
must see TV.
Friends, yeah. That was way newer than...
It was before then, yes. Yeah?
What was on? I mean, I'm just trying to think because obviously there were
just
no streaming services.
That was a show, right? Just Shoot Me?
Just Shoot Me? Was
yeah,
that
something
on...
Something like that?
I don't know. Was that on NBC?
I think it was.
I don't know. Hey, should I stop at Waba Grill tonight?
Yeah. The tacos, yeah. The steak tacos are delicious.
Can I get the kids deal?
No.
Well, I just walk in. I'm like, yo, what up?
Well, you could say that you're picking up for your kids, but that'd be kind of shady.
Why would it be shady?
I don't think our friends at Waba Grill want you doing that, Cap.
It's not a bad idea, though.
I can feel your power. So was this the number one song in 1989, or is that what it was?
Sure was.
A one hit?
Yeah.
There you go. Madonna's still touring. She was just here not too long ago, actually.
What do you mean, oh, geez?
All I know is I have some friends that saw her at the show in Cleveland.
She's like 60-something years old,
dude.
It was
just a spectacle.
What's good, good, bad?
They just said it was a hot mess.
Madonna's a hot mess.
Yes. I mean, I think by her Instagram, you can kind of tell that.
Really?
Yeah. I wanted to go just because I wanted to see, like, what the hell was going on.
Well, yeah, she played at the Forum.
Yeah.
I'd still get down with Madonna, just to be clear.
Oh, just because you'd say it's Madonna?
Well, just because I have the story to tell my friends.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, would you, Big D?
No.
You would not get down with Madonna?
No.
I mean, Kim Kardashian, yes. Madonna, no.
Yep. Exactly what you said. Kim Kardashian, yes. Madonna, no.
Oh, come on,
Madonna's
man.
Madonna's current boyfriend is like D's age right now.
Yeah.
Really? He's like 25.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm not surprised by that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably too old for her. I'm probably too old for Madonna now.
And oh, you're definitely too old.
And listen, there was a time.
D is definitely more her style.
Yeah, there was a time where I was like, you know what? I'm not going near her.
Yeah,
know?
For sure.
Yeah, 100%.
She'd come walk in here and she'd be like, who's that?
Yeah. Yeah. And then she'd look at me and she'd be like, ugh, you don't do anything for me.
Yeah.
You know, she'd like your hair, the crisscross haircut thing you got.
And remember, she was very controversial.
Well,
in a million ways over back then, like in a way that artists. It's like very normal now, but like back then, I mean, she had like the Vatican denounce her after that music video.
Well, she oozed sex back then.
Oh, she did.
You know what I mean?
I mean, she was humping the stage at the MTV Music Awards on Like a Virgin in 1984.
Hot. Plus, she had those cone boobs. You guys
that was
those?
Vogue. That was Vogue. She had the cone boobs during Vogue. She did have cone boobs.
Yeah, she did. But I mean, I was like, back in the day, I was like, you know, she's already been with Dennis Rodman. She's been with A-Rod. I mean, she's been around. But like now, all these years later, I'm like, yo, if she'd have me, I'd get down.
You are a freak, man.
Straight up for real, homeboy.
All right, Cappy, so how you beat Denver? My thoughts? First of all, you need D'Angelo Russell to not score 6 points per game like he did last year in this series.
Yep.
Secondly, it's going to take your depth beating them because they don't have the Bruce Browns of the world this year. They don't have the Jeff Greens. They don't have the depth that they had last season. They're relying on young guys like Christian Brown, who got a lot of run last year.
That guy's good, by the way.
He is good. He's very
really good.
He has helped, but Peyton Watson is a young guy getting some run. They've got guys, but it's a young group off the bench for them, other than Reggie Jackson.
That guy, Christian Brown, you know, his name is...
It's spelled Braun.
Yeah, it's pronounced Brown, but it's spelled Braun. Where is he from?
Kansas.
Oh, really?
He went to Kansas.
Oh, yeah? Because I thought based on the spelling, he was like German or something, you know? Like, I really didn't know where he was from.
No, he won the he's actually one of the few players in NBA, in basketball history that went from winning a national championship and then winning an NBA championship the next year.
That guy got hops.
Yeah.
Seriously.
He's good.
I mean, right?
Great defender, too.
Yeah, he's good. I like that kid.
So that's what it's going to take. Like, honestly, other than the obvious injury luck, right? Like, that's what it is. Your depth has to overwhelm them in a way, because they are not as deep as they were last year. Now, their five are better than they were last year because they have a year under their belt. They won a championship. They know what it takes to win the 16 now. And they have the best player on the planet, okay? We can argue about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander deserving MVP.
Please.
I think he might. I think he has a real legit beef. But Nikola Jokic is the best player in the NBA today.
Yeah, so, right. I mean, just because somebody wins the MVP doesn't mean that they're the best player on the planet. I mean,
but he is.
What you were saying, though, is right. I mean, Jokic is the best player. The best combination of height, of skill, of shooting ability, defending, passing, vision.
Right, I'm glad you brought that up. He used to be a net negative defensively. Now he's actually a positive defender, like a good defender. Maybe not a great defender. He's not Joel Embiid or AD or Bam Adebayo, those guys who are great defenders from that position. But he's an above average defender now at center.
Did you say Bam Adebayo?
Yeah.
Rebound batted away to Robinson. Now to Rozier.
Oh.
Kick ahead to Adebayo and bam! with the jam.
Right. So tomorrow,
23-9, Miami.
If you go to Miami,
They're winning right now, 51-39. By the way, Jimmy Butler, who was writhing in pain, is playing through this apparently. So there's that.
And Hal Spoelstra, is he still apoplectic?
No, he's fine. He's not apoplectic anymore. I'm sure he's very I don't want to say thrilled.
Benevolent.
It's only halftime, but he's I would say pleasantly I don't want to say surprised either, but I feel like he's happy with the results thus far.
Okay, gotcha.
Listen. I meant to play this one.
Bam! With the jam!
Right, that was close. The shorter one.
If you call a Miami game...
No, it's not. It's going to be Philly if they lose. If it's Miami if they lose. That's where I'll go.
Okay, what I'm saying, though, is that if on Friday you're calling a game that includes Miami
right,
and you have Bam, I'm going to be texting you during the game when me and DeMarco are on the air.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you that I want you to say he's a bad Bama. He's a Bam.
Bam Bama Jamma?
He's a Bam Mama Jamma.
No, a bad Bama Jamma.
I don't know.
You got to workshop
Bam,
that.
Bam Mama Jamma. You got to do something like that.
You got to workshop it. You got to tell me what you want, and I will try to deliver.
We're definitely going to do South-South.
For those that don't know what the hell we're talking about, the last time I did an ESPN radio game, you guys were just potting me up, and you would text me things to say during on the air, and then I would actually try to perform them on a national radio broadcast.
Right. So South-South Miami, when somebody hit a shot from deep.
South-South LA.
Right,
yeah,
South-South
that's
South LA.
Where you live. But basically, I'm doing another one of those games. I'm calling one of the play-in games, the 8th seed Eastern game. So the loser of Philly-Miami versus the winner of the second game, which is Chicago and Atlanta.
Okay, then also when somebody hits a deep three, they just hit that from Terminal H.
From Terminal H.
Terminal H has to become a staple in your broadcast.
Okay. No worries.
And then we'll have to come up with some other stuff.
Right.
All right, as for the Lakers beating the Nuggets.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about the depth of the Lakers beating the depth of the Nuggets because they don't have certain guys
that they
that
used
were
to
part
last
of this
year.
Team.
Yeah, veteran guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. To me, though, I'm going to go back to the beginning of it all, which is how do you win games if you're the Lakers, and what do the Lakers rely on? You know, the Lakers rely on two guys, and I said it last. Well, I said earlier this week. You have the healthiest Anthony Davis, who played in more games this year than he's ever played at any regular season of his entire career. And you have LeBron James, who had the best shooting percentage from three-point range that he's ever had in his entire career. And the best you could do was get to the 8th seed. Okay? So now what the players have said, including Anthony Davis, all year long, seeding doesn't matter to us. Am I wrong? Is that not what he's been saying?
That's what they've been saying, yeah.
So if that's the truth, if being the number one seed doesn't matter, and being in the top six doesn't matter, and if you won against New Orleans and you're not worried about the smoke against Denver, it really just comes down to this. Can LeBron, and more specifically AD, perform every single night in this series?
Yeah, but I think it's going to need to be more than that. I do think the role players are going to have to do their part.
I understand. And here's some suggestions. Like Torian Prince, do us all a favor. Don't shoot.
Yeah, and don't... Darvin Ham, don't play him so much.
Okay. What?
That's because when you watch the game, you watch Torian Prince, like, come on, man. What are you
doing? Dog! Like, he came in yesterday in the second half, right. And it was like, oh, here comes the run, right. And that's exactly right. What happened.
We were
stop
like, oh,
shooting.
God.
Do not shoot the basketball, Torian Prince, okay? Do not shoot. All right? Jackson Hayes. I love the fact that Jackson Hayes is like this exciting dunk machine that when he goes to dunk, he's hitting his forehead on the rim. I love that. But you got to have a little occasional defensive help from a guy like Jackson Hayes. Dinwiddie, you know, he only played 5 minutes last night. For a guy who's kind of been, I think, an important role player down the stretch, only 5 minutes last night. And you know what? Gabe Vincent, now that he's back, that's why Dinwiddie's not getting as much play. But last night, he plays an important role on defense. He brings fresh legs. He brings energy. He brings experience. Last night, 2-for-4 from three-point range. You got to get something out of Gabe Vincent. So, George, I agree with you that you've got to get something out of the depth of the Lakers.
Yeah.
But really, every night, LeBron, AD, D'Lo, Rui, Reeves, those five guys, your starters.
You got to perform.
Every night.
Yeah. Cappy. Coming up next, we got award-winning Radio Tinder, but first, tell them about your friends at the California Cryobank.
Okay, let me talk about the Cryobank for a quick second, because a lot of you guys hear this ad, and you guys are like, okay, that's kind of goofy and kind of a little weird and kind of maybe a little creepy in some ways, but it's really not. It's super important, okay? The Cryobank is looking for young men, healthy men, between the ages of 19 and 38 to become sperm donors, okay? And if you're able to work in the United States and you're between the ages of 19 and 38 and you're a healthy young guy, you have an opportunity, not a guarantee, an opportunity to make up to $1,500 a month, and you can help other people create families, you can help other people live out their dreams, but you do have to apply at spermbank.com. Now, here's the thing. I had a listener contact me, and he emailed me and said, hey, I was denied. I was turned down. And this guy's like 28 years old. He's in great shape. He's like, I don't understand. So I actually went back to the cryobank people. I said, I don't get it, man. I know this guy. He's young. He's healthy. He can work in the U.S. He seems to meet all the requirements. And you know what? It's just not a guarantee. I don't really know the reason as to why they turned him down. I don't know it. Okay. And they didn't tell me, of course, but it's not a guarantee. So you have to apply. Apply at spermbank.com. You can make $1,500 a month. You can help people create families. You got to be healthy and you got to be able to work in the U.S. and it is no guarantee. Apply at spermbank.com.
Oh, okay.
It's Roddy Piper's.
Oh, yeah.
Today
Piper's
would have been his
Pit.
Birthday.
Rowdy, yeah. Roddy Piper.
I loved Piper's Pit.
Such a great, he's like probably the best character ever, I feel like.
He passed away or no?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. You know that cancer. Before he died, though, and Lindsay, you probably know this. I can't remember the guy's name. It'll come to me. A comedian convinced Rowdy Roddy Piper to go on like a comedy tour.
Yes, he did. I can't remember who it is either, but he was hilarious.
And I remember him coming into my studio down in South LA because they had a show at the Comedy Store in La Jolla. And Rowdy Roddy Piper came in, told stories. I was starstruck because, of course, he was like one of my favorite guys as a kid. But yeah, this one comedian convinced him to get up on stage and tell stories. And I went to see him at the Comedy Store and he was horrible.
Really? I thought he was funny.
Oh, he's horrible.
Maybe it was just that night. He had a bad night.
Maybe he had a bad night. See, like, I was impressed when Mike Tyson had a one-man show. Did you guys ever see that? Did you ever see Mike Tyson on stage?
I didn't see it, but I knew about it.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah?
Couldn't believe how great he was, because it was unbelievable.
It's the one thing I would love to have tried. I need someone to write the jokes for me, like, or write them together. Like, we could collaborate on some fun stuff. Like, cause I feel like comedians, they would just, like, the way they do that is, like, they ask you, like, all right, what in your life is kind of, like, interesting or cool or
you
whatever?
You want to do some stand-up? Here's what I see.
I don't.
I see a Sedano and Cap comedy night.
Yeah. No phones, though.
Okay. No phones. Oh, never any phones. My guy, Maj Jobrani, is gonna be a part of that show.
Yeah.
My boy, Jason Lawhead, is going to be a part of it. Now, you have a buddy
and
who's
Browner.
A comedian.
Isn't Browner,
Browner
a comedian?
Browner does comedy? Yeah. What's your buddy's name who's a comedian?
Oh, Orlando Leyba.
Okay, Orlando
and
is
Dave
a part
Williamson.
Of it. Okay,
yeah.
So we get all of our buddies who are comics.
Yeah.
We put them together.
Yeah.
You do 5 minutes, I do 5 minutes, and we get off stage.
Right, and then those guys do the real
thing. And those guys, right,
do the heavy
thing.
Lifting.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I have some friends in comedy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Josh Riz? Potter, he's really good. And Tom Segura, who I saw on Saturday, he's not my friend, but I wish he was.
Love Tom Segura.
I saw him on Saturday in Charlotte. He was hilarious. I haven't laughed that hard that long in a very long time.
And was Kreischer with him that night or no?
No. He had the one guy opening up for him was pretty bad. But the other guy, he was okay. But he started with some really funny, like, OJ, you know, he had to comment on the OJ thing.
I see a Sedano and Cap comedy night coming soon.
Let's figure it out. Maybe in the summertime. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Lynn. Take it away.
All right. So we're beginning to find out more about Jontay Porter's gambling habits that got him permanently banned from the league. Last month, the NBA announced that they were opening an investigation into him after sports books flagged several large wagers being made on Porter prop bets in games which he left early with injuries. So eventually, the NBA decided that he had given confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes and betting on NBA games. So now, like I said, he's banned for life. Is this a proper punishment? Swipe left or swipe right, Kepi?
Yeah, I think it's a proper punishment. I think look, here's the thing about sports wagering and the legality of it and the relationship with leagues. For years and years and years, the leagues told the players how bad gambling was. Then all of a sudden, they turned on a dime. Wait a second.
They took the money.
Exactly. I can get paid by DraftKings or FanDuel or any of these other companies. And the leagues were all like, you know what? Okay, now gambling's fine, except for you guys. So you had to think at some point that it would infiltrate, you know? And so for a player to get busted, not for gambling, but for gambling on himself and then bailing on the game so that he could win the bets. That's sort of the insinuation here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't have that guy in your league. Sad. And by the way, a lot of people will say that it's just easy to kick him out because he's a nobody. I agree with that, by the way. I do agree with that. If this were LeBron James, they'd find a way to go, hey, it's all right. It's fine. But this guy's a nobody.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base.
How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I don't think even if it was. I think if it was LeBron James, it'd be Otani level scandal. Like it would be. It would transcend.
You're right. You're right.
You
it,
know,
it would be Otani level.
Yeah.
And then they'd find somebody to be a fall guy, and they'd move on.
They'd find an Ipe.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Swiping right.
That should be a T-shirt, by the way. Like, find yourself an Ipe.
Yeah, I need an Ipe.
What's next, Lynn?
Somebody be my fall guy.
Before I get to the next one, don't miss the Waba Grill Sedano and Cap 4 p.m. hour weekdays in 710. Waba Grill wants to make dinner time a little easier with their new Kids Eat Free program. Get a free chicken or tofu mini bowl with any entree purchase weekdays after 4 and all weekend long. Restrictions apply. Waba Grill, eat smart, be healthy. And don't forget, you got to listen every Friday for the Waba Grill Pop Quiz and your chance to win Waba Grill for your entire family. All right. So actress Emma Roberts recently gave Architectural Digest a tour of her house in LA, and during the tour she revealed an exotic gift that she received from an ex-boyfriend. She said, "This is a book I gave as a gift to my ex," and she was holding up a copy of Charles Portis's 1966 book Norwood. And then apparently she found out how much it was worth, and she said, "When we broke up, I took it back." So have you guys ever taken back a gift from an ex? Swipe left or swipe right, George.
Have I ever given it back or taken it back?
Taken it back.
No, I've never had
it back.
Well, neither has ever happened to me, so I'm swiping left. I mean, not because I've never asked for anything back either, but nothing has ever been given back to me.
Yeah.
You ever given or taken back a gift from an ex, Cappy?
I have not, but I'm resenting that I didn't. Like, for example, here's an example for you, right? Like, my ex-wife, you know, like, "Hey, can I please have back your engagement ring?" You know, like, "We're divorced now. Can I have that back?"
No.
You know, "Hey, can I get
sure to cash that out.
Can I get that wedding band, please?
You're not getting that back ever.
Yo, can I get that wedding band? Yo, can I get that jewelry?" Yeah, so I would like to take it back. Haven't.
So here's my thoughts on the ring. I feel like if the marriage doesn't work out or the engagement breaks up because the guy did something wrong, then he should encourage or want her to keep the ring. Like, no, I screwed it up. You keep it. Don't you think?
I don't know. I guess the question is, though, is that if you are in a relationship and there's a breakup, do you take back something that you gave as a gift because it was expensive? Or do you give back something? You're like, "Hey, we're not together anymore. You gave me this expensive gift. I feel bad about it. Here, have it back." Big D, what are you going to do? You going to give it back? You going to take it back?
You know, I actually had an incident.
I'm ready to hear about this.
Now we're talking.
Not recently, but you know, when I was in college, I was talking to a girl and she gave me a gift. It happened to be a video game. It was when 2K was dropping at that time. It was at Orange Coast College. And, you know, we weren't working out, and she tried to take the video game away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Nah, I'm going to keep it." So she actually came to my place and, walked in, mm-hmm. Without
Uh-oh.
Telling me.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, snatched the game when I wasn't there because mm-hmm. my roommates allowed her in mm-hmm. at the time. Mm-hmm. And she took the game and, like, my controllers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she took the controllers, too.
Oh, she took the controllers, too? Did okay. she buy those?
Okay. No, she did not buy
those. Oh, that's straight up stealing.
That was actually from, you know.
So what happened? Did you get them back?
I did not get them back. She just took them all.
What?
And you didn't go after her?
I did not.
Wow.
What a guy.
It was a PS4 at the time. So
PS4.
You've already upgraded.
Yeah, I upgraded, so.
What'd you get, an Xbox?
I got PS5.
Oh, a 5.
Oh, man, you got to go with the 5.
Oh, okay, all right.
What, are you Xbox? Xbox, man?
No, I don't.
I don't have either anymore.
I don't play.
I have an old PS4, but I don't have a 5.
I don't play either.
I just haven't played since the pandemic, to be honest with you.
But my son
plays. Do
you
guys play video games at all?
No.
I used to play 2K.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't play anything.
Yeah, I used to play 2K. I used to play the sports games, Madden, MLB The Show, like those kind of things.
I tried to play with my son, but the controllers today, there's so many different things. You know, you got your thumbs, you got your index fingers, you got to do too many things, you know?
You need the Quest
app. I feel like your game was like Atari.
Yeah, Atari, like Missile Command. You know, Super Mario, you know, Frogger.
Nintendo 64 and all that.
Yeah, Coleco,
yeah.
You know?
Islands, one more.
You need the Quest, Cappy. All right, so Nelly, you know, he used to be a big hit back in the 90s, yeah. early 2000s. Yeah. And I know that he tried his little hand at country. That went really well. But now that he's gone back to rap, he's not getting a whole lot of interest from fans anymore. So he wasn't really a draw for the vast majority of students at the University of Florida over the weekend who were given the chance to attend a free Nelly show at their arena, which is the Stephen O'Connell Center.
Yeah, well, the basketball arena. Yeah.
Right. So a clip from that concert recently went viral because there was no crowd pretty much whatsoever.
Wow.
Holds like 10,000 people, and it looks like there might be 100 people there.
That sucks.
It's very sad.
That's horrible.
So I wanted to ask you guys, have you ever gone to like a concert or a comedy show or any type of performance where there was like nobody turned out? It was a terrible turnout to the point where you felt bad for the performer.
I did. I went to one. It was at a nightclub where I went to see someone perform, and it was the venue was too big. If it would have been like an intimate venue, it was like a couple hundred people there, but this was a venue that held several thousand. So it looked empty, even though there were a nice amount of people there. It needed to be in a smaller venue.
That's when they need to like tarp off the other seats, you know?
Yeah, I can't really think of a time where I've shown up to an arena and it holds 10,000 and like nobody shows up for the show. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
A free show.
Well, I think that that's the wrong crowd there. Like, I don't know. Do college kids nowadays really care about Nelly? Probably not. But if you had it like, I don't know, if you target it towards millennials, I feel like a lot of people would show up.
Especially for free.
Right.
Yeah.
100%.
I love Nelly. I would go watch him.
I would totally
I
go watch
him.
You would.
Country Grammar, yo. Come on.
He wasn't playing at Orange Coast College. I can tell you that right now,
buddy. He
definitely
was not.
All right. Radio Tinder is brought to you by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Award-winning small batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. Now, earlier during Crosstalk, we mentioned you're a big Sopranos guy, Cappy.
I like the show.
Pablo Torre, my guy, has uncovered what happened with the Sopranos, and it happened to coincide with the Knicks pitch video that they gave LeBron back in 2010 when he was making the decision. We'll get to that. If you're a big Sopranos fan, you're going to want to hear it coming up next.
Yeah, yeah.
First class. First class.
Can you go first class in Terminal H?
You could.
I think that's how he told us Bill Plaschke was going.
Yeah, he was getting a car service.
When you sent him to Terminal H, he deserved it too, by the way.
He did. He did.
You gotta actually tone it down on this one. You gotta be like, I could put you in. Like, you gotta like try and act like you're super cool. You know what I mean? I could put you in. Yeah, yeah. I could put you in. What, dog?
That's how you do it?
That's how you do's it.
Okay.
That's how we do's it. That's right. What's the story on this?
This is actually number one hit in 2022.
Number one hit?
Yeah.
Number one hit. Jack Harlow. What you know about Jack Harlow?
Oh, man. You know I know a lot about Jack Harlow.
Oh, yeah?
Jack Harlow's my guy.
What other songs
Jack
he
got? Harlow's guy, Tyler Hero, is having a miserable game tonight.
Yeah.
He has a Tyler Hero song.
What do you mean, what other songs does he have? What are you, questioning me?
I am questioning you.
Well, he's got this song right here, right? Right? Okay. And then so like you, when you sing songs like this about first
class. He also did the remake of White Man Can't Jump.
Right.
Jack Harlow.
Did you know that?
I did know that.
You didn't know that.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't. Well, here's the thing. You got certain songs. Like I'll tell you right now, like this song's one of my favorites, this first class song.
Yeah.
But I also like Coach.
Yeah.
You know Coach?
How about Comfort Plus?
Yeah, you know Economy?
Yeah.
You know?
Main Cabin?
You know Back of the Bus?
Yeah.
You know these songs?
Preferred?
You know?
Yeah.
You don't know any of these songs? You know Frequent Flyer? You don't know that one? Yeah, it's for real. He got like a whole series of songs, like all based on like flights and stuff.
Cap, you got to know what's popping.
Oh, I know what's crack-a-lackin'.
No, the song, what's popping. Oh, play what's popping for Cappy.
Yeah, come
on. He knows that beat.
I know what's
poppin'. If you play what's popping from Jack Harlow, he knows that beat. There's no question about it.
Speaking of beats for a second here, while DeAndre goes and gets that, do you know, George, that yesterday afternoon at about 3 o'clock, okay, I go back from the studio side here at 710, and I go to visit with all of our friends, the marketing consultants, okay, on the other side of the office space, right? And Manny, who's one of our marketing consultants, goes,
you know this song.
Oh, what's poppin'? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just be joshin' too.
See, you know, you've heard this song, though.
I know what's poppin'.
Yeah,
So anyway, so yesterday afternoon.
Yesterday I know what's popping.
Right. Not with the ing, girl.
Just like wilding.
So I go in the back. I go over to the sales side of the office here, you know?
Yeah.
And remember, we were on the air yesterday from 7 in the morning till 10 in the morning. So by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, like my head is spinning, you know?
Yeah.
And because I woke up at like 3 in the morning, I had to start driving up at 4 o'clock.
A lot of coffee.
Blah. Right, a lot. Okay.
By the way, I know why I don't drink coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next day, I'm like in a like fog. After drinking coffee. Like, I don't ever drink coffee or caffeine, really, in general.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I am like,
I had two cups. When I live at the East Central, which is like 3 days a week.
Yeah.
When I live at the East Central, I love to start my morning at Nixo, where I'm sitting by myself at 6 o'clock
Nobody
in the morning.
Else is there.
I'm drinking coffee by myself. Yeah. And I don't know if you guys saw today on my Instagram feed.
Yeah, I saw you.
They finished the Kobe mural.
Yeah.
And it's bad, dude. It is like bad meaning good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I go into the back, I go into the office, and I see one of our marketing consultants, this guy Manny, and he says, "Yo, Cap, you had it going this morning." I'm like, What do you mean? Like, what? He's like, "That beat you had going this morning." I'm like, "What beat? What are you talking about?" Because George, by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I forgot
everything that had happened.
Everything that happened between 7 in the morning and 10 in the morning, I forgot everything. He's like, "You know that beat when you guys were doing that thing," and I'm like, "What thing?" And he's doing, you know, that roll call thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I completely forgot.
Yeah, Romeo on your radio told you.
Yeah, that we did this roll call thing yesterday in the morning where people called in and we just took your calls cold. But I, for some reason, came up with this ridiculous idea of doing this beat thing.
Right.
You have that from yesterday?
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
See, but then there was a second,
verse.
There was a second part where I'm asking everybody where they're. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So that happened yesterday on the morning show, and I had no recollection of it whatsoever. And by the way, it sounded better when there was a whole bunch of music behind me. If that's the way it sounded on the air, it didn't sound as cool as I thought it did. All right, George, you mentioned this whole Sopranos thing.
Right.
Okay, tell me the story here.
So basically, Pablo Torre, who's mm-hmm. our friend at ESPN, mm-hmm. He, longstanding journalist, has a podcast called mm-hmm. Pablo Torre Finds Out.
Okay.
And it's kind of a fun podcast. If you never listened to it, you should check it out. He has like a lot of cool like things that he does that are a little out of the box, right? He used to host ESPN Daily back in the day here. Mm-hmm. So he's a big, you know, New York guy, like grew up in New York, and he uncovered the Knicks pitch video to LeBron in 2010 when he was making the decision, okay? Now, Linz, you've gotten a chance to kind of go a little deeper into this to help kind of set this up.
Right. So since, you know, you can find the video on Pablo's Twitter account, which I can get that in a second. But so basically, he starts by playing the clip of the video, and it's Tony Soprano and his wife, and they're sitting in front of their apartment in New York, and they're playing this video, and he's like, they're looking for a place for LeBron. They want to help him out. So I'll just start with the clip of that.
Okay.
You got to find something magnificent. Something there's nothing in the world like it. One of a kind, like he is.
Well, here's a place. He says it gets really loud there. Take a look.
And they show the arena.
Oh, yeah.
Madison Square Garden, right. Yeah.
That's going to be perfect for him.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
Right.
All
right,
so then he goes on to explain what exactly happened.
And so this was about almost 3 years after The Sopranos ended and the fade to black famous scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently Gandolfini, by the way, was super into this. So Edie Falco, Carmella, the word out of this taping was that the whole premise that like, hey, we're in the witness protection program.
Okay.
And we're in this weird apartment and we're trying to help our friend LeBron. That was James Gandolfini's idea.
So it was all his idea.
Right, but there's a clip in the thing I sent you that they mentioned that they're in witness protection.
Yeah.
No, not Pablo. The James Gandolfini mentions it.
That was the part I just played.
No. You played Pablo saying that.
Oh, hey, okay. I set it up wrong. This is all my fault. Hang on.
No, you said. No, she's a big girl. She knows what she's saying.
No, I know, but it should be Gandolfini.
Hang on. Yeah. I'm sorry. This is my fault because I obviously...
Okay, but I'm just saying, like...
She's a big freaking girl. She knows what she said.
I was trying to cut out, like, the back and forth. Too much of the back
Right, but the whole reason it went viral was because of this.
Okay, all right. Start over again.
Yeah, I'll take you down.
Tony, I'm so glad we moved to New York. Life is so much better now.
Yeah. Life's good here, Carl. Even if we are in the witness protection program.
There you go. That's it. That's all you need to play.
Wow. That's actually pretty crazy.
Right.
That James Gandolfini, who played Tony Soprano, who, by the way, RIP, is no longer here.
Yeah, he's not, unfortunately.
For him to give up, which, by the way, I mean, could he have made that up?
I mean, perhaps, he's making it seem like that's where they were, right? Because they're in character.
Right, but did the writers say, hey, when we fade to black and we never produce another Sopranos episode again, guys, even though it's not written in the script, we're all going to assume that the Sopranos got into the witness protection program.
Well, we assumed they were dead.
They said they left it up for interpretation.
Who did?
The writers.
What was the guy, the main show runner?
Was it Steven Johnson?
No.
Was it Jack Phillips?
Oh, my God, no.
Was it?
Hold on.
Okay. John Anderson?
Matthew Weiner.
He works at SportsCenter.
Weiner.
Was it Matthew Weiner?
He was the showrunner of Sopranos.
Okay, then maybe it was Matthew Weiner. He prefers...
David Chase. Created it.
Oh,
yeah.
David Chase.
Yes.
David Chase is what I meant to say.
Yeah. You were close.
I was pretty close.
Yeah.
So for James Gandolfini to say that and for it to be unearthed, by how could it have been kept secret for so long?
Yeah. Well, no one's seen the video other than LeBron.
I thought the video at the beginning was funny.
Somebody would have dropped it somewhere, you know?
Right, but it took 14 years, Pablo found it.
They also said that they were actually filming it in James Gandolfini's actual apartment,
too. Yes,
which is funny because they're just, it's like an old school New York apartment with a window air conditioning unit.
What year did he die? I don't remember.
I think it was probably in the past 10 years.
But I just saw like a movie just recently. I don't remember what it was. You know, he's been in some scary movies. You guys ever seen
2013.
The movie? Oh, yeah. You ever see the movie 8mm?
Yeah.
You ever see that movie? Oh, that's a scary movie where Gandolfini is like this character called the Machine. Oh, scary, dude. Very scary.
Yeah. So yeah, 2013, 51 years old when he passed away.
Damn. What was the name of the movie that he did with Christian somebody or other and the other guy and the other girl?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
the Christian one. Something
right,
or other.
Right,
yeah.
Christian Bale?
Right. No, not Christian Bale.
I don't know.
We're
a lot of Christians at home.
I don't know. No. And what's her name? And he beats up the girl, Patricia Arquette. Patricia Arquette, does that sound like an actress?
That is an actress.
Patricia Arquette.
I know what you're talking about, actually, Cap. Oh, my God.
I have no idea.
I do.
And Brad Pitt's in it, and he's like, yo, man, don't condescend to me, man. Remember that movie? Who knows that movie?
Google knows it.
Come on, who knows that movie? No. Don't condescend to me, man. Brad Pitt?
Killed Him Softly?
Yeah, no, not Killed Him Softly.
Cap, why don't you just look at
Christian,
it up?
What's the guy? Give me an actor that's last name has something after Christian.
Yeah, how about we just go to break and we figure it out.
What was that movie?
True Romance. That's what it was.
What was it called? True Romance.
It was really?
True Romance.
Did she really get it or
yes,
are you just making
I
that up?
Yes, I swear to God, she got it.
I'm saying if that was the right movie.
Well, that's Kardashian it. Dressed up as her and Travis dressed up as them for Halloween this
year. Yes, and Christian, what was his name? The guy who's Christian something or other.
Christian Slater.
Slater.
Oh, yes, Cap. Now it'll come.
And now Christian's going to get all mad at me because he's listening this
afternoon. Right, of course everybody listens.
Yeah, come on, Cappy.
All right, coming up next, Cappy. An era is over.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that next.
All right, let me talk to everybody here for a second about Prize Picks. Now, George, I like to brag to everybody when I'm killing it on Prize Picks, which means I have to be honest when I'm getting killed by it on Prize Picks.
It happens, man.
Okay? Last night, I had Domantas Sabonis to go for more than 15.5 points. You know how many he scored?
I believe it was 17?
16.
Okay.
I had Klay Thompson to have more than 25.5 points, rebounds, and assists.
Mm.
Klay Thompson was 0 for 10. We're going to talk about this coming up in a few minutes. But Klay Thompson last night, man, it was
rough to watch.
It was really sad to watch. I had Steph Curry last night to go for 39.5 points, rebounds, and assists.
Nope.
Not even close.
Nope.
Now, in the earlier game, the Laker game, I had Herbert Jones from the Pelicans to have more than 3.5 rebounds. Goose egg, 0.
Mm.
I had Anthony Davis to score more than 20.5 points. You know how many he had?
I think it's 17.
20.
Oh.
Yeah. I had Rui Hachimura to have more than 19.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Like 15.
Oh.
Just terrible. Brandon Ingram, I had for more than 18.5 points because I knew that he had to have a big game for New Orleans to win. Nothing. I got smoked last night on Prize Picks. So here's the deal. I'm coming back stronger. But I need your help. Could you do me a favor, everybody? If you download the Prize Picks app and you use my code Cappy, K-A-P-P-Y, they'll match your first deposit 100% up to $100. So first things first, download the Prize Picks app if you haven't already. Use my code Cappy and get that first-time deposit match. Secondly, do this. When you make your Prize Picks, use the share button and hit me up on Twitter and let me play your Prize Picks because I've gone ice cold. Prize Picks, use my code Cappy, and don't forget, share your Prize Picks and send them to me on Twitter, Prize Picks.
What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Take it away!
Thanks, Adano. All right, so what you need to know is that during our pre-show meeting today, and DeAndre walked in with a brand new t-shirt that is the KC and the Sunshine Band t-shirt. And Cap was like, oh, hey, I like your shirt. And he's like, thanks, I got it thrifting. And he said, I don't even know who they are.
You imagine you're wearing a really cool KC and the Sunshine Band shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even know like that they're a band. You're like, I don't know, but I'm out thrifting. I like this white t-shirt. It's got the blue crew neck top. It's got the blue sleeve.
It is a nice shirt.
It's a nice shirt. And you're out thrifting. How much you pay for that, Casey, in the Sunshine
Probably
Band
like
shirt?
$15.
$15? Thrifting?
It's nice. It looks good.
Yeah, I'm telling you, thrifting is where it's at.
No, I would have thought it would be like $5.
LA thrifting is a little on the pricier side, I will say.
I went out here.
You're not thrifting in, you know.
I know. My daughter loves thrifting. My daughter loves to thrift.
Yeah.
And there's this little farmer's market that's like a thrifting farmer's market that I'll sometimes stop by.
How do they
do that?
Wait, what?
Is it like recycled
they bring
tomatoes?
Like fruit or something?
No, they bring... No, it's all clothes.
Oh.
So it's like a farmer's market style sort of thing. But it's
I figured farmer's market, I think food.
I know, but I'm just saying it's kind of like this weekend thing. And dude, they got all kinds of vintage, old school kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So here's DeAndre, Big D, rocking the Casey and the Sunshine Band t-shirt, and he don't even know who they are.
I saw the shirt. I was like, oh, this is pretty nice. You know, it goes with the fit, goes with the shoes. I got to get it. I copped it.
You what?
I copped it.
You copped it?
Yeah, I mean I bought it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know what that was.
That's what the, you know, my era, that's what we say. That's our lingo.
You guys copped it?
Yeah, we copped it.
Really? How about this shirt that I just got? I copped this one.
You did.
There you go. You copped it.
I copped it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is Cappy's cool new word for the day.
Yeah. Is that K-O-P-P-E-D? Copped it?
Yeah. I'm not even joking. Yeah,
for reals?
I'm being for reals.
All right.
I just want to make that my what you need to know. Since we're out early, you know, because of the game, the NBA playoff game. So I wanted to make sure that we got that in there because it was a cool story.
Are we off at 6:30?
Yeah.
Oh.
You didn't know that?
Damn. Okay.
You know, George, you forget things. Like, I just feel like your schedule is so crazy.
I don't know anymore.
I don't know how you do anything.
I mean, the schedule here also is kind of, well, I have it all on my phone, so there's that. And it does shift. Like, Cappy's right. We did the morning. I don't know what else is happening.
Right, and then, like, next week, just to give you guys an example, next week, Thursday, is the NFL draft, and we're doing a live remote broadcast, but all of a sudden, now the Lakers are playing the Nuggets on Thursday night. So that requires like a little bit of massage and flexibility, you know? And so I don't even remember where we're going.
Right. And by the way, there's a real chance I may not even be here on a Thursday because I may have a game on a Friday.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the broadcast. I think we'll probably wind up combo
playing. It's in Hermosa, right?
Yeah. And I think we'll get off the air at 5:30 that day of the NFL draft. And then I'm coming right to the Lakers Nuggets game.
Oh, you're going to try to drive downtown?
Yeah, I'm going from Hermosa to the game.
Oh, good luck with that.
What time is that? You think
about 5:30? I should get there by like the end of the fourth quarter. Maybe like the last last 2-3 seconds of the game. You know, I should be able to.
I've done that a couple times where I end right like when the pregame show starts, and I've not made it. You know, before halftime.
Dude, I had a thing today where I actually left downtown.
I mean, you
LA.
Know what you.
I can make it 90 minutes.
If you could avoid the 405, then I think you're in good shape. If you can just, I would just shoot across and just take the land, the side streets or whatever. I would take, you know what I would do?
Tell me what you would do.
Oh, wow. I don't know.
What would you
use
do?
Waze, because Waze always knows the Waze. Secrets.
No. Get to the 105, 105 to the 110, because you have a fast track?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it, right there. Yeah.
You know, today I had one of those stressful things where I left downtown L.A.
You can get the 105 in Manhattan Beach or El Segundo, actually.
All right.
Yeah.
I left downtown L.A. today at like 12:15 p.m.
Yeah.
To drive to Westwood, okay? And it took me about 35 minutes or so to get to Westwood. So no problem. I'm on time. I'm actually 15 minutes early for my meeting. I get there. I park. I'm good. We get done having this meeting, and at about 2:10 p.m. or so, I go to get my car. Now, I have to go from Westwood, right, back here to downtown L.A., and I could see all the red on my map. And I'm like, oh, man, I mean, am I going to make it by 4 o'clock? And it took me about 55 minutes or so to go about 10 miles from Westwood back to downtown L.A.
I think there was a street or a lane closed on the freeway because it was like that earlier, and it was just a disaster.
I don't know. I was coming back across the 10, and then I got off early, and I started playing with downtown side streets till I got to Figueroa. But
yeah, there's a lane closed because it took me all the way up to like the 105 last night at the middle of the night.
Oh, I got.
And I was like, why is it taking me on the 405? That's weird.
I don't know. I got nervous though. I got nervous this afternoon. All right, George, listen. Last night after the Laker game,
Warriors Kings.
Okay,
yeah,
I said, okay, well, I want to watch this Warriors Kings game because, look, the thing about rooting interest here for the Sacramento Kings. Because my buddies were sitting there courtside because they're part of the ownership group. And I like the Kings. I like to support the Kings.
Right.
But I also like the Warriors.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah, and I love Steph Curry.
And Clay. You know, we love Michael and Clay.
I love Clay Thompson, right? Let me tell you something.
Well, you and Clay became boys at Michael's thing, no?
We did.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. It was painful and agonizing. To watch
Aria
Clay
wouldn't
Thompson.
Aria stop watching.
Because it hurt her feelings.
Well, and Clay is her guy.
Right.
You know?
To watch a guy like Klay Thompson, who is such a likable guy, and I think everybody in the 7-10 community loves to watch Klay and wants to root for Klay because everybody loves Michael, and he's a local kid and the whole thing. For him to, on a night where you're playing against a rival team, an hour down the road, what has always been little brother, right? I mean, let's face it, you know, the Kings are to the Warriors what the Clippers are to the Lakers. You understand the comparison I'm trying to make here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, to watch a guy like Klay Thompson, who's so likable, who's a Hall of Famer, who's a great player, all these things, to watch this guy go 0-for-10 from the field, 0-for-6 from three-point range.
Yeah.
Nothing could fall. And it got to a point in the game where I honestly feel like Steph Curry didn't have to say it, but his body language said it. Bro, enough. Shooters shoot, you've shot. Stop. And then I watched the post game with Charles Barkley, and Barkley, I think, is right. You know, it's very hard now for Klay Thompson, who's going to be a free agent. There's nobody out there who's going to look at him with an Achilles problem, a knee problem.
And he had an offer last year that was a significant offer that he turned down from the Warriors.
Yeah, so you've had a knee, you've had an Achilles, and then you have that kind of a performance on a night when, let's face it, George, what we saw last night was the end of the Warriors dynasty.
No question. Finito. Like, door shut.
Yep. It's over now. Yeah. It's over now.
Good for you.
Good riddance.
Well,
Cleveland!
You know, it's like, if it wasn't for them, LeBron would have more, blah, blah, blah.
Okay,
blah,
that's
blah.
Life.
No, I don't say that. I'm just saying good riddance because.
But really, for Klay Thompson, here's what I think would happen, George, is that now you go back to your team and you just accept the fact that you're going to stay with your team, but you're going to get paid a lot less money. Because there are no max deals out there, I don't think.
No, Klay Thompson. Not a max player.
Too many injuries.
They offered him below the max last year, but a significant amount per year, and he turned that down. Now, I mean, he bet on himself, and it did not work out.
And again, if he would have gone 6-for-10 from the field last night, maybe. Maybe you're like, oh, you know what? His injury history, okay, fine.
I mean, he still wasn't getting the max. Right?
I understand, but to go 0-for-10.
No, it's the worst possible time.
It was painful to watch.
Yeah, worst possible time. And yeah, it's over. And look, they got old. That's what happened. And they have a team on two timelines, as I like to call it, right? They've got the old guys, and then they got guys who are too young. If they were closer to the middle, right, where those old guys were a little younger, and those younger guys are a little older, they'd be in much better shape.
Kind of like the Lakers, truthfully.
Why are you laughing?
It's just funny how you're like, the young guys were a little older, and the old guys were a little younger, just to the median, you know?
But Barkley said it last night after the game. He goes, you know, this is a young man's sport, and they got old. They got old, and guys are going to get older, and they're going to keep getting older, and they're probably going to get worse as they get older, and that's the reality of the situation, LeBron being probably the only exception on the planet.
Right. He's the outlier in this scenario.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is very, it's tough, man. Like, it sucks for them. That's not how you want to go out. You don't want to go out as the 10th seed and getting beaten the play-in, you know what I mean?
By little brother down the road.
Down the road, yeah. Right. In an injured version of them, a dilapidated version of them.
Sacramento didn't have what they, you know,
they didn't have Malik Monk
with.
Was going to be potentially the sixth man of the year. Kevin Huerter was a great three-point shooter, right? Like, it just didn't have the guys.
And I think Sacramento, by the way, will go to New Orleans and win that game.
Yes.
Because without Zion, and this is something else Barkley was saying after the game, without Zion, New Orleans has no chance. Okay, because they only had a chance last night because of Zion. And just one last thought on Zion, and I was glad to see Barkley say this, because I felt like I might sound like an idiot if I said it, but Barkley said it, so now I think I sound smart. Last night was the first time I've ever seen Zion in his NBA career look like a real superstar.
Right, because in a game that had stakes, right.
Yeah, oh, here's what you got. What Barkley had to say. Here, play it. Yeah, there you go. There you have it. All right, well, listen. Coming up, George, I have got to show you something. This is going to be a show and tell for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I want everybody who's listening on the radio or the app, I want everybody right now to stop what you're doing and go to the ESPN LA YouTube channel, because I'm about to do some show and tell, and suffice it to say, it will be a fashion show. And DeAndre, just wait, man, because wait till you see what I copped.
I got
you. You feel me?
That's right. That's okay. That's the best way to use it
Wait till
too.
You see what I copped, dog. All right? And wait till you see George.
Yeah.
I'll leave it with this. You ready?
Okay.
This is what happens when you become a superstar on ESPN.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it. And also, I know you love to relish to talk some football. There was a really juicy story today in the National Football League.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we got to get to that in a second as well. Stick around, 710 ESPN.
But first, tomorrow is another Ticket Thursday on 710 ESPN. Listen all day for your chance to win tickets to see Neil Young and Crazy Horse, the Love Earth Tour on September 29th at the Hollywood Bowl. Listen all day tomorrow for Ticket Thursday on 710 ESPN.
All right, we're done here in a minute.
Yeah.
I forgot for that. I'm like, whoa, the song. Whew. All right. Dealer's Choice, all that stuff coming up in a sec. Plus, Bill Belichick, not happy with Robert Kraft, Cappy. I know you love that drama.
I do.
Yeah. So we'll have that as we get ready to wrap this thing up and turn it over to the NBA.
Nice. You hit it. Nice. All right. Hey, listen, for this Dealer's Choice, I need Cody from our social media team to come on into the studio because I'm going to need him to take these cameras out of their fixed positions, and he's going to have to work with me as I get ready to work the runway. Okay, listen, George.
Yeah.
So when I was in college, my locker mate in college was Louis Riddick.
Yeah,
from ESPN.
ESPN's, yeah.
Louis Riddick was number 5. I was number 9. So we had 5 was Lou, 6, 7, 8, 9. There we were. We were together. We were just 5 lockers down from each other. So yeah, when you're in a sectioned off locker room, you hang out with the guys in your area. You talk to the guys in your area, blah, blah, blah. Louis Riddick was amazing. Super smart. He was like one of the top players in high school football coming out that year. And just as good looking as he is now, dude. Imagine when he was like 21.
Right.
Ripped. I mean, 6'3", 215, freaking just chiseled, six-pack. You know, and I was the creepy guy next to him going, yo, sweet Lou. Yo, dog. Yo, man, if I had that body, I ain't never putting a shirt on, man. I don't care how cold it is out there, dog. Right? So Louis Riddick goes from playing college ball to, you know, playing in the NFL, works his way into the NFL front offices, and after a lot of years in the NFL front offices, he is like a natural for ESPN. He's got it all, man. The looks, the sound,
yeah,
the experience as a player and as a front office executive. Okay.
Yeah.
He gets welcomed home because as you become a big star at ESPN,
yeah,
the school is like, oh my God, he can do so much for us with all this notoriety, all this fame, all this platform that he's got.
Yeah.
Gosh, he could do so much for us in terms of promoting our program. Because if you watch Louis Riddick on TV, he's always got a Pitt football helmet behind him. In fact, too. Louis, people liked the way he dressed. So this company that I'm sure you've heard of, Mitchell & Ness, you guys have heard of Mitchell & Ness, right?
Yeah, yeah. They do a lot of sports memorabilia and stuff.
Throwback kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So they created the Louis Riddick line for Pitt football and for Pitt sports fans.
Sweet.
Now, I guess it's not really necessary. Everybody in L.A. is not going to be like, ooh, I got to have some of that. But if you're a Pitt football fan or if you live in the Pittsburgh area, whatever, you're going to go crazy when you see this, right?
Right.
So, George, I got to show you the box. Look at the box. It's got Louis Riddick's signature on it. It's got his number on it. Number 5, which is what he wore in college. And it's got this amazing-looking box. But wait till you open this thing. I hope everybody's watching this on YouTube. Dude, wait till you see what this box looks like inside. Look at this picture of Lou. Look at my boy Lou. This is what happens when you become a superstar on ESPN.
Can I see it?
Yeah, I'm gonna turn it around.
Oh, okay.
Look at this.
Wow, that's awesome.
Look at this,
man. That is pretty badass.
That's fire.
Is this not unbelievable?
That's dope.
Inside, I get a note. It says, yo, Cap, no matter where our lives have led us, we are bonded by the privilege of having taken the field in the blue and gold. I'm grateful to have been able to carry Pitt's glory through my career as an NFL player, scout, executive, and now broadcaster. In collaboration with Pitt and Mitchell & Ness, I'm proud to share with you the Louis Riddick Collection, celebrating my contributions on and off the field. I'd be honored if you wore this carefully crafted collection, not so much as a favor to me, but as an opportunity to show your Panther pride, your friend and fellow Pitt alumni, Louis Riddick. And then, George, wait till you see this. Look at this. All right, fashion show time. Look at this.
Wow, ooh, I love it, Cappy. Man. That's really nice.
Oh, right, Big D? Right?
Oh, man.
Mitchell & Ness all up in it.
Little varsity jacket?
Oh,
dang.
Hell yeah.
Hey, that's clean right there.
Clean. Look at this thing, George.
I love it. That's a really nice jacket, Cappy.
Isn't that beautiful? Right? Now, here's the only thing. Okay.
So probably
now,
need to get closer to the mic.
Well, now, so here's
those
the
jackets
thing.
Are like super in right now.
Yeah. So here's the thing. So Lou, on the side of it, it's got, you know, the Pitt football helmet, which I'm super proud to wear, and it's got Lou's autograph and the number 5. I've decided what I'm going to try and do is I'm going to try and close off the 5 and make it look like a 9 because that was my number.
Oh.
And then I'm gonna try and take out the stitching of Lou's autograph and stitch in my own.
No. Nice. Don't do that.
All right. I shouldn't do that.
No, you ruin it.
How bomb is this jacket?
It is awesome.
You become a star on ESPN. You could play in the NFL.
Yeah.
You could be a scout in the NFL. You could work in a front office. You become a head coach. You could become a general manager.
Yeah.
Nothing is like being a TV star on ESPN because nobody's getting something like this. This is incredible, man.
Now, do you think that Bill Belichick is like working for ESPN for a little while for the draft, do you think that he'll have his own line very soon?
He ain't getting nothing like this.
I mean, Robert Kraft won't let it happen either.
I just want everybody.
Kind of like you wouldn't let him get the Falcons job?
Right. I want everybody to go on YouTube and check me out.
Yeah.
How Come on, man.
I do like, is that the normal Pit Panther logo?
This one right here?
Yeah.
It's kind of like an added one, like an extra version.
Okay.
The one on the back is, though.
How about this right here?
Yeah, you can put your wallet in there or something.
You got to show the back, too. Yeah. Oh.
Now that looks fire, the Pit. Yeah, that's awesome. The regular Pit logo, yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
I like that.
Sweet Lou. My man. Mwah. Congratulations, Louis Riddick.
Yeah. Are you going to keep the tag on because you're going to gift it to somebody? Or,
no,
yeah.
I'm going to rock it. How much do you think a jacket like this costs?
Oh, that's a couple $100
Yeah,
easily.
Like 200?
Easily, $200-$300
Yeah, I think I saw the price tag on it.
Oh, he left it on?
Yeah.
Is it all Pit jackets?
Yeah, so like everything that, so in this Louis Riddick collection, this is like, everything is all Pit related. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, if you're a fan, you're going to want to get out there and rock it. You know,
I want to rock what shoes with you to wear with that.
You want to know what shoes I should wear with these?
What you got?
Well, I don't know, man. Do I wear my black Air Force Ones?
No.
You got white Air Force Ones today.
Yeah. What do you think? Do I wear my Air Jords? Or
Cappy, those would look good with some Panda Dunks, like DeAndre was saying.
Panda Dunks would be cool. Or what about my Travis Scotts?
You could do that too.
My Travis Scott Nikes.
There you go. That's fire.
That would be fire.
I'm telling you.
Oh man, this is so rad. I am loving this jacket. You want one?
I mean, sure. I'd take one. They look nice.
I mean, these are... DeAndre, you should get one of these.
I mean, I probably shouldn't wear one if I'm doing college football.
I actually got a sweater like that. I got an Eagles one.
Yeah?
A Philadelphia Eagles one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got cop one of these.
So this would be the equivalent, like, if Brady Quinn came out with, like, a Michigan-branded clothing line.
You mean
line,
Notre
right?
Dame?
I mean, Notre Dame, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Right? Like, they'd be similar.
Brady, I don't think Brady Quinn famous on... It would be like if Matt Leinart came out with a USC version.
That's what I should have gone with.
All right, we're done here. Cappy, that looks fly, man.
Dude, I am feeling this jacket right here, boy. Yeah,
good for you.
Yeah.
All right, great job, Linz.
The box is better than anything.
Hey, the box is pretty cool, too. Great job, DeAndre. The Circle, thank you. Christopher, for your help. I don't know if you did anything today. Thanks to Nick Wright for stopping by. Playoff basketball is next. You'll get the end of this Miami-Philly game and then followed by the Chicago-Atlanta game. See ya.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.